There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where never come nigh. If we are faithful, we shall go then by and by. It's the city where the name. Change to clouds and rain until we go to the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light, the city where the come and no night. I'm a mansion over there and then free from. Is the light in that city where the Lamb is the light? There met no night. I'm a mansion over there, and then free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. We have. Is the light in that city where the Lamb is the light? The coming of night. I am mentioned over there and then free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. Then let sunlight fade, let think. No, the shadow can my blissful soul apply. For I know that up in heaven there's a room. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light, the city where the cometh no night. I am mentioned over there, and then free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the
Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts and our souls are longing for this city where you are the light, where there'll be no sorrows, where we will be rejoicing every day. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've come this morning and we've brought our tithes and offerings, O Lord. We are bringing them before you. Bless them, O Lord. Bless your children.
Amen.
Let every single need that is laying upon their hearts. You will know the hearts and you will know our thoughts. Let you, O grant to our to your children, O Lord, whatever they need. We commit this into your hands. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. To sit.
God bless you, saints. I just want to sing this item for the passing of Sister Shada's father. It's a song in French. It just says that we are tired of seeing all these things that's going on around us. We have to go and bury our loved ones every day. We have to see sufferings, misery, all these things. And we are calling for the kingdom to come and to establish the everlasting peace in our hearts.
salaire. Viens me faire ces ennuis. Viens au roi des prêts.
May God bless you, Brother Eli. Amen. Amen. We can stand up and sing that song, Come and Dine. I believe we are same spirit today, because He is calling you to come and dine. Don't look around you, look at Him. Amen. Amen. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. Supplies our every need. All this with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calling. Come and dine. You may feast that Jesus table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry call it now, come and dine. The disciples came to learn, thus obeying Christ's command, for the master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Does He satisfy the hungry all the time? Come and dine, the master call it, come and dine. You may feast that Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry call it now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take His bride to be ever at His side. All the host of heaven will assembled be. What will be a glorious sight? All the saints in spotless white. Then with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, call it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, water into wine, to the hungry call it now, come and dine. Come and dine, the master call it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry call it now, come and dine. In prisoner's chair, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed at night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loose and they were free. I bless Your name, I bless Your name. I give You honor, I give You praise. You are the light.
I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in sun in your mind, reach out and praise, defy, don't chase, and ye will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of times so hard, reach out by faith, divine and know. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise, you are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name, I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise, you are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Bow our heads. Father, we want to bless your name. We just want to come and submit ourselves to you and bless your name. To thank you that you've given us a chance once again to gather as your people in your house. Oh, Jesus, that your will would be done. That, Lord, you could just impart to us upon this day something of your great being, Father, Lord, to Father, grant us that mercy that we might just submit ourselves to you, that you might move upon us, Lord, that you might move in us, Lord, that you might move ourselves out of the way, that, Father, you may have the preeminence, that you may be glorified in the midst of your people, that, Father, your heart's desire may be achieved upon this day. Let it be done. Father, it's our desire to worship you. It's our desire to serve you. It's our desire that our worship will be acceptable unto you, Lord, in this age of lukewarmness. Father, this arrogant age. Father, just to worship you in spirit and in truth. So help us, Lord. Anoint us and quicken us. Father, minister the entrance deeper into that holy place upon this day. that we may decrease and that you may increase, that you may be glorified. And as we come to the end, Father, we desire one thing, that you would look down and say, it was good. Amen. Let that be, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, we greet you this morning in Jesus' name. We want to greet our visitor, Brother Shep's friend, Joel Asimota. Where is he? God bless you, brother. Amen. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Please feel at home. Yeah. Let's open our Bible, saints, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just an announcement, next Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, up in the north, Skyver Orange Hall. Brother Tom's asked me to speak to his young people there concerning relationships, courtship, and so forth. So we've invited our young people to go along as well. So please come along. If only for the pizza, for some people. But we pray it'll go beyond that for most of these. So please keep that in prayer. 6 o'clock next Saturday, Skava Orange Hall. Let's read the book of Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul. Any message believer loves the Apostle Paul. Because when the prophet went beyond the curtain of time, what was his testimony? I preached what Paul preached. Amen. So you'll love Paul. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. We'll take our thought from that. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. We probably won't get very much to our thought today because we need to go a little bit via Samaria. But our thought is, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, the Lord dealing with the Apostle Paul in such an outstanding way. Now you think of such a man as Paul. That's what I just really got into this thought this week, and I was just fellowshipping around this. And I saw some of the saints were putting different things from that message, perfect strength by perfect weakness. And it's a powerful thought. But to think of such a man as Paul, think of Paul. Paul, who was such a great man in the world at first. I mean, he was a friend of the high priest. He was commissioned by the Sanhedrin Council. You know, he was a man of great repute and stature and honor. You know, so naturally speaking, he speaks of his lineage. You know, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, he had every natural attribute to commend him to man's religion, the idea that man has of religion. And then when he met Christ, think of the spiritual qualifications this man had when he met Christ. He met Christ in the pillar of fire. He met Christ in the Logos. He didn't meet Jesus walking down the shores of Galilee like the other disciples did, but he was commissioned by Jesus in the form that he was before he was made flesh. He was personally commissioned by the Logos himself, Jesus himself. He was filled with the Holy Ghost almost the very day that he believed, when Ananias came and laid hands upon him, and then he went and he was baptized. I mean, he had such a spiritual pedigree. He was a man that was caught up into the third heaven. Amen. And he saw things that it's not lawful for a man to utter. He couldn't speak of it. He wasn't permitted for 14 years. Amen. The spiritual things that he saw. Now the personal visitation, what God revealed to this man. Here was a man that could take handkerchiefs from his body, lay them upon sick people and the people would recover. Amen. Here was a man who prayed for the dead and he saw the dead raised. Here was a man that God used to write almost the entire doctrine of the New Testament. The New Covenant. I mean, to the bride of Christ, God took this man, shut him away, and used this man to bring to us the faith. Amen. The Christian faith, which has been restored in this age. So, this man had such a pedigree. He was such a spiritual man. He was such a humble man. He was learned to be content in any situation. Whether he had or had not, didn't affect Paul. He was satisfied. As long as he had Christ, as long as he was in the will of God. So to think of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, looking down upon Paul and having to send a messenger of the devil to buffet this man. No, something to come to afflict this man, a thorn that he put in the flesh of this man. That's an amazing thing to think about. Now, to think of such a high spiritual qualification, such a pedigree of a man, and yet God has to come and afflict this man. Now, the prophet says that in present stage of the ministry, he says, you see, Paul had a ministry greater than all of the rest of the apostles put together. Now, that's the great blessing, but you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. But you see, Paul talked with him and saw him in the form that he was before he was made flesh. And he commissioned Paul in that state. So what a commission. The prophet says all the other disciples could say to Paul, Paul, we were with Jesus. He cooked fish for us and all that. And Paul could look at them and say, brethren, Christ allowed me to go far deeper than that. Amen. I met him in the Logos.
Amen.
But it gets to the stage that Paul, the prophet says to the Corinthians, you would at least have plucked out your eyes to give them to me. Because Paul, we think, had bad eyes. That's why he would say, I've written with such big letters. And that's why others would have to write his epistles. He'd dictate to them. He said his eyes had been bothering him since the heavenly vision. Friends, to me that's powerful.
Amen.
The same time he receives the heavenly vision, the commission, he receives the thought.
Amen.
You see how it goes together in the spiritual realm?
Amen.
And it's going to teach us a very serious principle
Amen.
Here. Why God would have to do this to a man like Paul. To give him a messenger like this. And he says, the people would have plucked out their eyes. Seeing Paul suffer, his eyes bothering him and he's suffering. And he asked the Lord three times to heal him. By the grace of God, on Friday, we'll have a look at that. When Paul asked the Lord, when God says no, and that's a very good thought to think about when God says no.
Amen.
God said to him, no. He says three times, Lord, he beseeches the Lord. He seeks him with all of his heart. He says, Lord, please. It's not nice going to the pulpit with my eyes looking like this. It's not nice having to get other people to read the Bible for me. I'm an apostle. Now you've called me to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Please, deliver me from this. And he prays a second time. Then he prays a third time. And then he gets the answer. And the Lord says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Lest you would have been exalted through the abundance of the revelations. It's necessary for what you're going through. And the prophet says, he asked the Lord to heal him three times. And he said, except I would get exalted, there was sent to me a messenger of the devil that he might buffet me. Now he'd get pretty good, then it would hit him again. Then he'd get good, and it would hit him again. Friends, there's a principle here. This is a principle which shows us how serious God takes the issue of spiritual pride.
Amen.
Spiritual pride. You know, God saw in Paul that despite all that he had been through, despite all his revelation, despite the baptism he had received, despite everything that had happened to this man, there was still the potential inside of this man and inside of every single one of us that if we're not careful, we can be overtaken by spiritual pride. And that's why Paul said, lest I should have been exalted. Should exalt myself above measure due to the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a messenger of the devil to buffet me. And friends, Paul had this to his dying day. Right from the heavenly vision to his dying day when his head was taken off. God cared for one thing. To get from this man's life what he desired. For this man to be the blessing that he was. Jesus had to wage warfare against the potential of spiritual pride in Paul.
Amen.
And if you had to do that in a man caliber like Paul, what about with you and I?
Amen.
What about you and I? There's something about pride. There's something about this great enemy of God's work. and its subtlety and the way that it can sneak in and the way that it can overtake people. Despite a person having such a call and a commission and all the different things that he did, nothing happens to a believer by chance. What he was going through, what he had to endure, there was a real specific divine purpose behind this. And when Paul was asking, saying, Lord, take it away from me, the Lord was saying, no, because I've got something better for you, because my grace is sufficient for you. So the Paul speaks of it, speaks of him like that. A man with a heavenly calling. He speaks all the time about his heavenly calling. But the man with a heavenly calling still is dwelling in an earthly body of flesh. No, when God fuses together the spiritual realm, he gives you a heavenly calling, he fills you with his spirit, gives you a divine commission, has a divine purpose that he wants to achieve through you. It doesn't take away your humanity. It doesn't take away that fallen humanity that treasure is hidden in. And that's how the Lord, having a look at Paul and realizing just what a value the man was, realizing just what a precious son that he had here, what a commission he had, what a purpose and objective he had for this man. He had to keep him in a position that natural tendency of a normal man, a normal woman, that when God starts doing something for you, when you start being used above your brethren, above your brothers and your sisters, when God starts opening things to you and revealing things to you and revealing himself to you, there's such a potential of pride. And Jesus was determined to wage warfare against that in the life of Paul. So I think it's something that we need to pay attention to, because many have made shipwreck of their faith because of this. Many of far higher caliber than us are shipwrecks today. They've spoiled their ministries, spoiled their reputations. What because of? Because of spiritual pride. Because of pride. Friends, pride is a cursed thing, the prophet said. Pride is your enemy. Pride is the enemy of any person who desires to walk with God. Any person who desires to fulfill their commission, to finish their course like Paul did. Spiritual pride is your enemy. And we need to know our enemy. We need to study this enemy a little bit today to make sure that we do not fall subject unto the subtle enemy. The way that so many people before us, so many people in this day, this has been the scourge of the message of the hour, is spiritual pride. God will raise a man up, use him to raise the dead, use him to do great things. And then the leprosy of pride will strike the man. And the man will come down in flames, burning down, falling from heavenly places. Because friends, the Bible tells that God wages warfare against pride. No matter where it is, no matter what form it takes, no matter which age we live, God is opposed to pride. God is determined to fight pride wherever he finds it. This is something that we need to keep ourselves away from. Because pride will take you away from the most important revelation, is that his grace is sufficient for you. Amen. The moment you get proud, you don't think that you need his grace. Pride speaks of self-sufficiency. You will think you're sufficient in yourself. And the moment Paul started to think he was sufficient in himself, that messenger would come and buffet him once again. And then he had started to say, but Lord, I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. And that's where the Lord wants us to be, friends, as believers. And whatever he has to do to us, if we are his sons and his daughters, whatever he has to do in our lives to keep this from us, he's going to do it. If you don't want to willingly overcome this thing, he has ways of making you not desire that thing inside of your life. Because this is a great enemy of your heavenly calling. You don't want pride. And you'll always find that the intensity of the thorn goes along with the height of the revelation. Amen. The depth of the calling. Amen. This man has such a heavenly calling, so God has to give him something to keep him balanced on the other side. Amen. Has to keep the man from thinking that he's above a mortal being. Thinking that it's not grace that he needs to rest and reside in every day of his calling and his ministry. And friends, we need to remember this. It's a lesson. And we had a prophet that overcame this thing. A prophet that his outstanding feature, when that message, all things are possible, they say, he had an outstandingly humble spirit. But he had to go through afflictions. He had to go through things because, friends, there's the natural side of who we are that wants to think that it's something, that wants to lift itself above its brethren. Pride is a terrible thing, but spiritual pride is even more of an enemy because there's the spiritual dimension to it. You find some people will be proud. You find girls proud because they think they're prettier than others. They think they've got a better fashion and form than others. And it makes them proud, makes them think they're better than other people. You'll find boys think because they know more than somebody else, or they're better at kicking a ball or something, they can get proud. How much more when it's a spiritual realm? How much more when God gives you things that other people don't know about, like Paul? Spiritual pride is the danger. This is something we've got to watch out for. Because spiritual pride is the original sin. The original sin in Eden wasn't the original sin. That was the original sin that struck the human race. But the original sin started right in the heart of Lucifer. And it was spiritual pride. That was the very thing that caused everything we see today. Right back in the perfection of creation, some attitude rose up in Lucifer. The attitude of pride. And that spiritual pride became iniquity. And God waged warfare against it. And God will always wage warfare against pride. God will always resist the proud, the Bible tells us. He'll always resist the proud. Spiritual pride. So it's good for us to consider this, friends. Because pride is a sneaky thing. It's a serpent-like thing. It can sneak in and it can dress itself up in so many ways. Yeah, you know, and pride, we'll see it, that pride, the real meaning of pride, it's not outward. The danger of pride is someone can seem so humble outwardly, but they look down on other people inside of themselves within the veil. They look at other people and think they're better than other people. They see people doing things and say, I could do better than you. That's pride, friends. That's the thing we have to overcome. That's the thing we have to overcome because Jesus had to overcome pride. His second temptation, when Satan took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down. Let the angels bear you up. The prophet says in the message, how can I overcome? He says the next great assault that he made upon him, that he would be a show off. What is a show off? It's pride. It's arrogance. That Jesus would show, look at me. Look at me. You people can't do what I'm doing. I'm going to cast myself off. I have such favor with God that the angels will bear me up. The prophet says, how that does hit God's servants to be a show off, to show what you can do. You see what's happened here? If Jesus had have submitted himself and it was a temptation, he was tempted to do it. Because he was in mortal flesh. He took on the form of a servant. So he felt a pull inside of himself the way that we would feel the pull inside of ourselves. He was tempted to do it. He had to overcome this very thing. This something. And you know, if he had have given in to that temptation, you know what he was doing? He was taking himself out from under the plan of God. And he was putting himself above. You see where the danger comes in? You might do something spiritual, but it's pride. You know why it's pride? Because God never revealed it to you. God never told you to do it. And the moment you start doing something, even in the kingdom of God, that God hasn't told you to do, you're putting yourself in the place of God. You're putting yourself above God. If Jesus had have done that, his father never told him that. If he had have said, okay, I'm going to force my father's hand, he's going to have to send his angels to deliver me. Who had the preeminence then? You see where it comes in, friends? It's not what we do for God. It's what we do in the will of God that counts. That's where the problem comes in. So many times we want to do something, but it's not within the boundaries of what we've been called to do. Be careful. God wages warfare against pride. God will always resist that kind of a thing. Look in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, if you can put it, sister. Proverbs 8, let's just go and have a look. We'll have a look just now at the meaning of pride. But Proverbs 8, verse 13. Look what it says in the Bible. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Amen. There's not many things that God says he hates in the Bible. But he says pride, arrogancy. He says, do I hate? Amen. God hates it, friends. And that word hates means something that is repulsive. Something that is an abomination to God. Amen. God is the only one that's perfect. Yes. Yes. If there was any being that had the right to be proud, it's God. Yes. But he chooses not to be proud. Yes. And then we such insignificant creatures, so limited in our understanding, so limited in our ability, we want to do that what that perfect being himself won't do. We want to be proud. That's how when God looks down at pride, he hates it. It's an abomination to him. He can't stand pride. Because that's what caused the problem right from the beginning. Pride, right from the beginning. Now put up the slide, please, sister. Look at the definition of pride, to be proud. This is what it means in the Bible. I just was reading it in the dictionary, Bible dictionary, and I thought, hey, this has got some meaning inside. Proud. It comes from two words, hupa, which means to be over or above. And pheno, which means to shine. So it's one who shines above or shows himself above his fellows. That's what pride is. When you want to shine above your fellows, those who are on the same level as you. Friends, every single one of us in this bride is at the same level. Amen. It doesn't matter your call, doesn't matter your office, that doesn't make you any better than anybody. Amen. And the moment you want to put yourself above any of your fellows, you've been afflicted by this disease that got Lucifer in the beginning, which is pride. The moment you want to shine above your fellows, put yourself above your brethren. And as we'll see, not even outwardly, but it's an inward attitude. The moment you look at another sister and you despise her. The moment you look at another brother and you say, I could be a better song leader than him. Be careful. Be careful of such thoughts. Be careful. Because where did it start? It started in heaven. Look at the continuation. Sister, put the next one, please. This is what it means. One who feels himself. Sorry, that didn't come out very well there. One who feels himself conspicuously above others. You'll be with your brothers, and because the Lord's allowed you to do this or the Lord's allowed you to do that, you now think yourself above other people. If there's ever a man who had the potential to do this, it was Paul. Because what God had given him and what God had done in and through him was so much more than the rest of the apostles put together. And God knew that. And that's how God knew for this man to finish his course. I've got to keep him humble. Amen. I've got to keep him with one realization that he needs my grace. Amen. That my grace is sufficient for him. Amen. He's got to keep himself in a certain spiritual place, in a certain spiritual condition, because the roadway behind us is littered. Amen. Littered with those that have made a wreck of themselves because of this. All you got to do is turn on TV. Satellite TV, whatever. And go and see these modern day evangelists. It's just pride. It's pride from the beginning to the end. It's just Lucifer. Everywhere you see. Everyone trying to shine above. How many people watches their programs. How much money they receive. How much God has blessed them. It's cursed pride. But it's spiritual pride because it's dressed up in religious garb. That's where it's even more deceptive. It's deceptive. The next meaning says, one who feels himself conspicuously, yeah? Who, because of his feeling of personal superiority, regards others with haughtiness. Haughtiness is the appearance or quality of being arrogantly superior. Friends, I've seen people like that. Believers like that. They'll sit there and they can say all the right kind of things and seem so humble because their temperament is quiet. But inside of them, there's the serpent of pride. Amen. Because they despise other people. They despise us. They always think they know better. They can't listen to anybody else. They'll never take counsel from anybody else. They are the sum of all wisdom. They know everything. There's nothing worse than that condition. It's the most pitiful condition. That's the condition of Laodicea. Because thou sayest, I have need of nothing. But thou knowest not, you are miserable, wretched, blind, and naked. The prophet says the most pitiful thing is they know it not. They don't know it. They don't realize the pitiful condition they're in. Because they think, I'm rich, I have need of nothing. That's Laodicea. That's Laodicea. If you go to the next one, I think it has one more, sister. If you can skip down, sister, yeah. Is it going? I'll read it for you. This word reflects a false estimate which manifests itself in arrogance. A false estimate. You know what a false estimate is? Is you think that you're something, but it's not true. You estimate your importance as being something that's not real. But inside of yourself, you've got an attitude that you're far more important than you actually are. Friends, God's program will work without you. It'll work without me. God will still keep pushing on. The sun's going to come up tomorrow, no matter who, where you there or not. His program's going to move on. His program's not reliant on you. It's not reliant on me. If I don't want to listen to God, God can put somebody here tomorrow. And this church will go on. And I can go and sit in all of my pride and say, but no, people need me. And God will just bypass me and say, okay, I'll show you who's boss. I'll show you who's the creator. And I'll show you who's the one who's been created. And sometimes he wants to do those kind of things to us. Because we start thinking we have a false estimate of ourselves. The only true estimate of who you are comes from here. This shows you who you are. You have a soul that's worth 10,000 worlds. But this outward man is worth nothing. This outward man has to perish and go back to the dust of the earth. Because it's contaminated with sin and potential for these kind of things to dominate if you give it the opportunity. And the Lord even knew it with Paul. Now look in Isaiah 14. This is where we see the beginning of it. This issue of pride, it's so personalized in Lucifer. This is the origin of it all. Isaiah 14 verse 12. Now you'll see there's always two things. There's exalting yourself and God casting you down. These are the two things that always go hand in hand. One will always lead to the other. He who exalts himself shall be humbled, the Bible says. And he who humbles himself shall be exalted. That's God's law. Amen. How art thou fallen from heaven? So imagine he was so high. What caused him to fall from heavenly places? What caused him to fall from the right hand of the throne as the anointed cherub that covers? What caused him to fall? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down? See, God cut him down. Which did weaken the nations. Why? For thou hast said, where? In thine heart. That's where it begins. In thine heart. Because your thoughts in heaven speak louder than your words on earth. It's an attitude that started in Lucifer in his heart. It was something that gradually started. He started to look at the kingdom of Michael. He started to look at the way that Michael ran things. And something rose up instead of him staying in his position and realizing he was a created being, realizing he had boundaries and parameters that he had to stay within, he started to despise. He started to think that he could do better. Yeah, he started to look down upon Michael. He started to think in his heart, if I was in charge, I would do better. I wouldn't sing like that. I wouldn't allow the angels to sing those kind of songs. Amen. If I was in charge, I wouldn't allow this kind of an order. I would do this and I would do that and I would do that. That's where it started. He wanted to shine above. To shine over his brethren. He wanted to raise himself up above what he was created to be. Be careful of that. Amen. Be careful. Never move beyond the boundaries that God has commissioned you to stay within. No matter how much he's blessed, you stay within your boundaries. But it's pride that wants to make you move beyond. Amen. You say, because God has blessed me here, let me go over here. Be careful. Make sure God is telling you to do it.
Amen.
It says, because thou hast said in thine heart. Now there's the five I wills. Listen to them. I will ascend into heaven. The moment you have that attitude, you won't ascend into heaven. You will be cast down. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt. See the word? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So he's looking at Michael's throne. He's looking at this kingdom of perfection. And pride has come in. And he starts thinking, I can do better. Where do we see it in the message? These people that want to tell us better than the prophet. Away with such people.
Amen.
These people who want to think they know more than the prophet. We don't want those kind of people here.
Amen.
We don't want the correctors of the prophet, the rejectors of the message, the defectors from the message. It was pride that got them. Because they thought they knew better than the prophet.
Amen.
They thought they could interpret the prophet's visions better than he could interpret his visions. Away with such stuff as that. That's Lucifer. We don't want Lucifer here. We want Michael here. We want Michael to feel at home here. We want his system to be established. No matter how humble it may be, how contrary to the glory and splendor of Laodicea. No matter how humble, if you have to be born in a stable and put in a manger, fine. If we have to travel with a donkey like Jesus did, all is well and good. If you have no place to lay your head, fine. If that's what God has commissioned you to be, stay as you are. Rather be what he wants you to be. What he's called you to be. If he wants you to have riches like Solomon, wonderful. His grace will still be sufficient for you. But if you want to make yourself something, his grace won't be sufficient for you. You won't find his grace there. Be careful of making yourself something. He says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 13. He wants to sit up and he wants to look down upon the rest. How many times have you seen it in the message? We have to follow this man and then we have to follow this man. And then these people have the revival and those people have the revival. And what ends up happening? Leprosy strikes those people. It's an unfailing law of God. If you exalt yourself, no matter how blessed you may have been, no matter how anointed you have been, who was more anointed than Lucifer? He was the anointed cherub that covereth. That's what the Bible says. So anointed, so gifted, so powerful in the power that was in his commission. But what destroyed him? What changed him from Lucifer into Satan? What changed him from Lucifer to the devil? Pride. Because he said in his heart, I will ascend. I will establish my throne. I don't want his throne. I don't want what he wants for me anymore. I have my own ambition. I have my thoughts. I have my purpose. I have something I'm going to achieve. I want to shine over my brethren. I want to rise above my brethren. I want to show them who I really am. Friends, that's where it began. And then when it fell from warfare in heaven, it fell upon the human race. And this fallen man has that same potential in him. That same potential that if you feed this, if you listen to this, if you don't keep this under your subjection, it'll lead you to the same self-destruction that had led all those people before. Pride is self-destructive. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your reputation. It'll destroy your favor with God. It'll destroy your favor with the people of God. It'll hinder God because pride stops the grace of God. God's grace is stopped by pride. But humility opens the channel to grace every single time. Verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. You see where he wants to be. If you want to go in the rapture, all churches must follow the way we worship.
Yeah, that's what's being said now. We know what's going on in the bride. We've got the third pool revival. If people want to be in the rapture, they've got to come and listen to our leader. They've got to listen to Brother Sons and Brother Sons and let him make his books and tapes, and we must follow him. It's Lucifer. Yes. It's Lucifer. Yes. Amen. I will. Pride has got him. Pride has got him. And whenever pride gets in, what comes next? He will humble you. For he will exalt himself. God will humble him. God will wage warfare against that. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. A creature made by God, thinking you could be the same as God. No, we laugh and say Lucifer was so foolish. We all do it. Amen. We all do it. When God's word comes to us, that's God himself. Amen. And when we say, no, that's not for me, I'm going to do it my way, you've put yourself above God. You've made yourself God and you've made God your servant. Don't do that. Amen. If you want divine favor, the best thing to do is submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself, the Bible says. When the word comes your way, when the word comes to correct you, to counsel you, to rebuke you, to guide you, to lead you, the greatest thing that you can do, humble yourself. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Because he is God. He's the only perfect one. He's the only one worthy of glory. He's the only one worthy of admiration. He's the only one worthy of emulation. Nobody else. He's the only true example because he's the only perfect one. Everything else is not perfect. So anything else that you raise above God, friends, be careful. Be careful. It's a false standard that we're setting, a false estimation of things. It's deception that has taken a hold of us. Now, Lucifer, he looked with this false estimate he had of himself. He had a false estimate of Michael's kingdom. He thought this could be a lot better. Did he not? He thought we could make this a lot better here. If I was in charge, if I was the one, he's had his tabrets and his pipes and all that inside of him. Too many of these humble songs. We could really make some music if I was in charge. We could make another standard of worship. We could lift things up into another dimension. God dwells in humility, friends. God hides himself in simplicity and reveals himself in the same. And the moment we start thinking like that, we bypass God. We look right over him. We fail to see and to understand his power because he hides himself in simplicity. Now, there's nothing wrong with you and I or anybody looking at somebody else and saying, that could be done better. Because that's always going to be like that. But it depends on how we handle that. If Lucifer had have looked in heaven and thought, we could improve the song worship here. If he had have gone to Michael and had presented and said, you know, Michael, I had a real idea. What do you think about this? Now maybe we could do this and that. Instead of being the sides of the north, we make it the sides of the south, whatever that it is. That would have been fine. Same like you and I. If you have ideas, we're always welcome to ideas. Amen. Always. That's why there's differences of gifts, differences of administrations in the body of Christ. Amen. But the problem comes in sometimes when we want to go beyond the boundaries of what God's called us to be. Amen. If God's called you to be a song leader, you know, when you go to work in any company, they give you a job description, yeah? And that covers all your roles and all your responsibilities to show what that company is expecting of you. I mean, God calls you. God gives you a divine job responsibility. He shows you in his word. He shows you in the message of the hour what your particular role, what your particular calling encompasses and what it doesn't encompass. The song leader is not a preacher, the prophet says. The job description of a song leader is not to preach. The song leader is not responsible for church order. He's not to tell people about church order. It's the deacon's job responsibility to do that. So no matter how sincere we may be, how much you may feel pushed to do certain things, It'll not be for our glory if it's not in our job description. And when we're getting out of our job description to somebody else, what is it? It's pride. It's pride. We think we're better than them. I know more than them. And we start moving from this realm of safety, this place that God has given us where His grace will meet our every need. And we start stretching ourselves beyond the boundaries and the parameters that He has for us, like Lucifer wanted to do. And it was pride. Though it may be dressed up in many, many other things, it's pride. Now, I was speaking yesterday to Brother Christian. I had a very wonderful talk with him. He was sending greetings to the saints. But he said something so wonderful. He was speaking about leadership. And he said, you know, he said, but people misunderstand leadership. He says, to be a leader doesn't mean you know better than all the people. Amen. To be a leader doesn't mean you know how to sing better than the song leader. Doesn't mean you know. There's gifts of administration in the body. You can have people in the body that are better at administration than the pastor. That's why God put them in the body. As long as they can realize that's their call, they're not supposed to be the pastor. They're supposed to be administration. You find there's all these different gifts in the body. But he says the true role of leadership is to allow each of those gifts to express its full potential. That's what you want it to be. It's the same as in a company. I know IT in our company far better than the boss. Our boss doesn't know much about IT. But that doesn't make me the MD. Just because I know certain things that he doesn't, because I excel in certain things that he's never ever going to excel in. That's what he's employed me to do. That's why I have my job description, to do that particular role, to cover that particular gap, to minister in that particular field in the company for the edification of the whole company. But the moment when I think, oh, I know more than Vaughn, yeah? He doesn't even know anything about it. Then I start making decisions that are his decisions. It's not going to work out well for me because that's not on my job description. Stay in your job description. It's a safety, friends. God will only bless you in the line of duty. God can only bless you where He's called you and placed you. Don't take yourself under from His protection. And He says, Paul, as long as you stay there and you remember, I am the creator, you are the creation. As long as you remember, you are my servant, I'm God. It's my plan, it's my program, you my servant. You are helping me in my program, then my grace will be sufficient for you. But there was a potential in him and in all of us to think of himself, to exalt himself. He said, lest I should be exalted because of the abundance of the revelation. God had to come and give him something to keep him humble. Had to allow him something inside of his life, a messenger of the devil, a messenger of Satan to buffet him so that Paul would remember that he was immortal, that he would remember his job description as the apostle to the Gentiles and keep himself in the right position. Now the danger comes in is when we look beyond this. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 15, a very familiar example. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 15. Let's just look at how the Bible speaks about Uzziah. Amen. King Uzziah. Amen. But look how it speaks about it. Verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines, invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad. There's nothing wrong with that. But be careful how you react to that. Because when your name starts spreading abroad and people start to know that, hey, this brother's a blessing when he leads songs. This brother's a blessing when he prays. This sister's a blessing when she sings items. God really anoints it. And then people start recording things and other people being blessed by the way God has used you. That's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. That's ministering to the body. That's what you're supposed to do. But be careful of this. That when God starts using you and blessing you and your name starts spreading abroad, don't think that you're something. Because it wasn't you. It was Him in you. And without Him, you can do nothing. And that's what we've got to continually remember. If we want to make it safely to the end of this race, to finish this course with joy the way that Paul did. And his name spread far abroad. For he was marvelously helped. Friends, in my job description at work, if we need £150,000 worth of equipment, I can go to the boss and I can say, we need to put this in for the good of the company. And he'll say, Andrew, let me sign it. And he'll sign it off. I'll be marvelously helped. Anything I need to keep my department working, the resources are going to be there. The resources are going to keep coming. That's exactly like Uzziah. As long as he stayed in the job description of king, which is what God had called him to be, had prepared him to be, had raised him up to be, he was going to be marvelously helped. Until he was strong. Now, the moment that you think you're strong, you're on the way out. The moment if God loves you and you think you're strong, he's going to weaken you. He's going to allow you to discover the weakness that he knows that's there. That's what he had to do to Paul. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I had to have this messenger come and buffet me to teach me that I'm not strong. I'm actually weak, but it's okay because when I'm weak, then he is strong. That's what he had to learn. But when he was strong, now we could take it in the message, friends. We could go right through all the different moves that I've raised up in the message and how they were marvelously helped and mighty things were done and mighty manifestations of God and great revivals and great moves until they were strong. And we wish it could have just continued like that. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. It's not easy for God to bless someone in an outstanding way and for them to continually remember they are mortal being. The prophet says God is looking for people that he can bless and they won't think themselves to be gods. They won't try to put themselves in his position. He says that's why God so many times has to withhold these things from us. Because he knows it's good for us. He knows it's good for us. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of God to burn incense upon the altar of incense. What's he doing? What's he doing? That's not his job description. That's not his role he's supposed to play in the kingdom of God. But pride has come in. His heart has been lifted up. He thinks, because God blessed me here, therefore I can go and do this and I can do this. Be careful until he tells you, until you find it in his word, until he speaks it and reveals it and confirms it personally to you. Stay where you are. The prophet is a full gospel businessman. If they could have just stayed the way they were. But then the businessmen wanted to preach. And the prophet had to go and preach how many times the message influenced to those businessmen. And take the example of King Uzziah and raise it before them and say, you businessmen, the moment you step out of your position that God is blessing you in, and the moment you want to make yourself to be ministers, the same thing will happen to you that happened to Uzziah, which is leprosy. Sin enters in. And you might say, I'll never ever make myself a minister. Be careful. When you're sitting with other young people or you're sitting with saints in your house, be careful you don't do the job of the minister. Yes. Be careful on Facebook and so forth that you don't do the job of a minister. Because sisters can preach to other people. You know, be careful you don't go beyond the boundaries that God has set for you. And we as brethren as well, there's a certain severity of issue, depth of issue that we know inside of ourselves. And hey, this one here, I don't want to be involved in this. Let me send this up the chain of command. And let's always do that. It's for your own good. But sometimes it's quite a tempting thing, yeah? To take the next man's position because God has so blessed you where you are. It's an easy thing to say, well, let me press the boundaries a little bit beyond. Don't change the boundaries. The scripture says, remove not the ancient landmarks. Those that have been set before the foundation of the world for you and I, let's stay there. Stay within the landmarks, the boundaries that God has revealed and has confirmed to you and I. And God will help us. And we'll be exceedingly helped. And we'll become strong. But sometimes now when we're strong, God has to afflict us. God has to do something to us to keep us from being lifted up when we're strong to our destruction. Now look what the Lord did for this man. Verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. God sent his word. God sent the ministry after this man to tell him, don't go that way. Stop what you're doing. Stop now, stop quickly. Look what he said, the next verse. And they withstood Uzziah the king. Our friends, the wisest thing when the word withstands you, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Don't push on. Don't presume. If this man could just have humbled himself, it would have been a wonderful ending to his life. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah. Ask yourself when you're doing certain things, does this appertain unto me? Is this my role? Am I the one who's supposed to be doing this? What is a wife, according to the scripture? A helpmeet for a husband. But the wife can quite easily want to be the husband. And then you can withstand and say, this doesn't appertain to you. This isn't going to work out for your good like this. But sometimes the wife can look and say, but my husband's not doing this, and my husband doesn't. Then she wants to take the place of the husband. Be careful. Be careful. They withstood Uzziah the king and said, appertaineth not to thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord thy God. Now the fatal mistake, verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. That's pride, friends. When you cannot be corrected, it's pride.
Amen.
When you cannot be corrected by the word, it's pride. It'll never work for your glory. It'll never work for your glory. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, what happened? The leprosy even rose in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And he was thrust out. He was cut down from his position. He was thrust out from that high place. He was cast out from amidst the sons and daughters of God. And he died a leper. And it happens often. Look in James chapter 4, verse 6. Look at this principle that James is speaking of, the same thing in the Bible. Bearing in mind Uzziah. It seems a simple verse, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. No, the real translation of this isn't God resisteth the proud. It's God resists pride. It's not just the proud. God resists pride. Wherever God finds pride, he's going to resist that pride.
Amen.
If you can put the slide, sister, and go to the next one. It's about the word opposed. Go to the next piece, sister. Another one. This is the word resist in James 4, verse 6. It actually is the word to oppose. It comes from the word anti-tasso. Anti means against. Tasso, order or to set. It means to set an army in array against something. So when God sees pride, he starts bringing his resources. He starts marshaling his forces against that pride. When he found pride in Lucifer, what did he do? God got his army. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waged war against Lucifer and his angels. And my friend, if you have this attitude in you, God is going to bring all of his resources, starting just with his word in the beginning, and he's going to wage warfare against that pride. And God had to take the resources, this messenger of the devil, yeah? And he had to wage warfare against this potential in Paul. Not even pride in Paul, but there was a potential that he could be exalted. So God says, I'm not going to allow pride to stand in the way of my mission and commission for this man. and God set it in order. It also means at the bottom there to line oneself up against. Friends, do you want God to set his resources in order against you? Is that a wise thing for a person to desire to be? That you have an attitude that God hates. It's an abomination to God, and wherever God finds it, he wages warfare against it. He brings all his resources against it because God hates that attitude. And sometimes we sit in church and it's there in here. Beyond the veil, we're despising other people. We're looking down on other people. We're thinking we're better than other people. Repent, friends. We need to repent of that attitude. It'll never work for your glory. It'll never work for your good. It'll never. Antitasso is a military term. It means to range in battle against. And it pictures an army arrayed against enemy forces. Oh, friends, when you humble yourself, God takes all of his resources and pours them into your life.
Amen.
He takes all his resources and pours them in. But when you're proud and you're arrogant, God takes those same resources and uses them to wage warfare against that attitude inside of your life. That's the way that God is towards pride. Somebody once said, let us be humble, that you may not need to be humbled. Let's be humble, so that God doesn't have to humble us. Because that's what James is telling us, that's what Paul tells us, that he will exalt himself shall be humbled. Because this is self-glorification.
Hallelujah.
As we said, pride is a disease that starts in the heart. It's an inward affliction that starts off as an attitude. That's where it first originates, is in the heart. And that's where its deceptiveness comes in. You sometimes see it, friends. Let me give you a few characteristics of pride in someone and some of the attributes that you'll see in pride. The first thing about pride, somebody who's in pride, is proud, they cannot and do not receive counsel. They don't look for counsel. If someone's proud, they are the standard. They make themselves the standard. I know what should be done. He doesn't know. She doesn't know. Now you find it many times innocently with young people, our youth. When we were young, we were the same. And you go to somebody's house and they have children, and the young people who have never had a child in their life, maybe just to babysit for a night, yeah. But they know exactly how those children should be raised.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true. They'll be telling the parents, no, no, you shouldn't do that. Your children shouldn't be doing this. If I ever had children, I'll do this, that, and that. You have an estimate in your mind, but it's a false estimate.
Amen.
How can you know until you've been there?
Yes.
How can you know? You haven't yet got that job description.
Yes.
You haven't even got into that role yet. It's good to accept advice from other people, to listen to other people. But be careful of that. But you find people that have got this pride. You know what it's like? That word pride, it speaks about somebody who sets an inward altar in their heart. And you know what they worship in the end? They worship themselves.
Amen.
Pride leads you to self-worship.
Amen.
That's what it is. You worship yourself. You worship your own understanding of things. That's the only thing that's important, is what you think about something. Yeah. And you can sit there right in the front of church, and you can sit there, you can look, and you can even nod your head now and again. And you are eaten up with such a pride and an arrogance beyond the veil, because you think you know better than everybody here. Is that not true? I've seen it, friends. And the saddest thing about it is pride shuts people off from the resources of God. The very things that would come to deliver you. The word will come your way. And come and create you. Say, doesn't know what he's talking about. Who's he? Who does he think he is to speak to me? Doesn't he know who I am? Like Brother Donnie Reagan says, yes, you're just 5.5 feet of dust, the same as me.
Amen.
That's all that you are. We're all just dust. That's what we are. Outside of the grace of God, we're just nothing. The prophet says we're just atomic fodder. He says we're just rubbish without the grace of God. That's what we are. Let's not think that we're somebody. But when the word comes our way, it's the word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. But we can have an attitude inside of ourselves that even the very word that comes to deliver us, because of our pride, it cuts off the channel of grace from working inside of us. Why do you think Laodicea is going to be destroyed in the end? Because they refuse the counsel of God. He says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. I counsel you, come and get the eye self. Because you're miserable, you're blind, you're wretched, you're naked. And you don't know it.
Amen.
And what does Laodicea say? I don't need anything. I don't need anything. And Laodicea has made all of these false altars that they worship on. The altar of education. Yeah? Raising education above God's word. What about science, so-called? It's a false, satanic altar. That's all that it is. People worship the creature. Go and have a look at these nature forms and that David Attenborough and them. They're worshiping nature. Mother Nature and all the glories of nature. Not one speck of an acknowledgement of the Creator who made that creation. They take this nature, they put it on an altar, they make films, they spend millions of pounds. They special cameras, special submarines and that. What for? To worship the creature. And they're so arrogant and proud. They say, we don't need the creator. Stephen Hawking, to those who know Stephen Hawking. They say, the greatest mind in the state says, we don't need a God. Well, let him speak for himself. And when he gets to the end of this journey and his soul goes into the beyond, let's see what he says there.
Amen.
That's pride.
Amen.
Man has exalted himself, lifted himself up. So God's going to destroy.
Amen.
Because God always opposes pride. He wages warfare against pride wherever he finds it. And in this age, he sends a little man from Kentucky. And comes and proves all of their theories of science.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
He comes and manifests things and does things which science didn't understand.
Yes. Amen.
To come to show the folly of just worshiping science.
Yes.
And those scientists in the vision, what did they do? They looked a little bit, shrugged themselves, and went back to their test tubes.
Yes.
And there's an Armageddon coming.
Yes.
And there's fire coming from heaven. Because if you exalt yourself, you're going to be cast down.
Amen.
You're going to be judged. But that is arrogant Laodicea.
Amen.
Now we can be in the message and be Laodiceans.
Because
we have the same attitude as Laodicea. We think we don't need anything. We think we're the standard. I don't need someone to tell me what to do. If I have problems, I'll make my own solution. Be careful.
Amen.
Be careful of making yourself the standard. Every single one of us, we need help.
Amen.
We do.
Amen.
Every single one. If we didn't need help, God wouldn't put us in a body.
Amen.
God wouldn't have put manifold gifts and ministries in the body if we were self-sufficient ourselves. But we're not self-sufficient. We're not self-sufficient at all. So that's what self-worship does. You erect an altar. Pride makes you make an altar. And you start thinking that you are the only one that's important. And you focus on yourself. You focus on your own ideas. You focus on your own opinions. And in the end, it becomes self-worship through self-sufficiency. And that's why now it's the selfie generation. Yeah? Yeah? Everything's selfies. Selfies. That's the big thing. It just shows, friends. It shouldn't be the selfie generation. Let's read a couple of scriptures about that. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16, just as we close. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What's the first thing? Next verse, sister. A proud look. Friends. Someone who looks down on other people. Not a proud action. Not proud words yet, but just a proud look.
Amen.
when you look at somebody else with pride. God hates that. God looks at you and says, but you're just an ant of the earth. You're just a nothing. You're going to go back to the dust. You're like the grass of the field. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And you think you're better than somebody. That's what it says, a proud look. Like Pharaoh. Look at the way that Pharaoh looked at Israel, at the Exodus people, with contempt, with pride. And when the word came to correct him, what did he say? I know not the Lord. Who is the Lord? And we do it as well. Because the word comes our way. The word wants to bring salvation and deliverance and healing. So I don't need that. I'll make my own way. Proverbs 16 verse 18. Solomon the wisest man had a lot to say about pride. Proverbs 16 verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. It's a governing principle. It's a law that can never fail. Amen. Proverbs 18 verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. If you find someone who has their reputations destroyed in this message, they used to be someone people used to so look up to. What happened first? It starts in the heart of man. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. Ah, friends, you can prophesy about where you're going to go inside of your life. But the very attitude you've got inside of your heart, your attitude towards God and His word and His people, your attitude towards the message of the hour, you can tell what lays before you. Before honor is humility. What about Isaiah 13 verse 11? The prophet uses this in the sixth seal to show this is what's going to happen to Laodicea. Isaiah 13 verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil. This is the sixth seal, yeah? And the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. That's what the tribulation period is going to do. It's going to cause the arrogance of man to cease. Man who's going to make this utopia, he's going to end up under the system of the beast. He's going to be in a tribulation. There's going to be a time of trouble, Jesus says, such as never has been upon the earth. When men will run to the rocks and the mountains and say, fall upon us and hide us from the face of he that sits upon the throne. Ah, friends, I'd rather fall down now. I'd rather humble myself now at his feet and say, oh, you are God. I am but your servant. You know all things. I know nothing. You know what's good for me. Lord, I don't know what's good for me. Because Father always knows best. Father knows best. Proverbs 12, verse 15. About counsel. The proud man. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. But you see, when we set ourselves up as the standard, I'm the sum of wisdom. I know everything. I know. I know. I know. I will. I will. I will. It's Lucifer. That same disease that destroyed him is encroached within the veil inside of your mortality. And unless there's balm of Gilead that's applied there, by acknowledging your iniquity, by recognizing that enemy, friends, it's a fatal disease. It's a fatal disease. Revelations 3, verse 18. Look what Jesus says to Laodicea. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. Friends, the humble man accepts counsel. The humble woman accepts counsel. The humble person accepts correction. and rebuke. Because as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. But pride raises you above God. So I don't need God to tell me what to do. You may not say it in words, but action speaks louder than words. By refusing to take His counsel, by refusing to follow His way, you're raising yourself above. Just as much as Lucifer wanted to do. Now, a humble person acknowledges their limitations. Even Jesus acknowledged His limitations. In John 5, Jesus says, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. If there's anybody who should have been self-sufficient, was Jesus. If there's anybody who should have been able to sit and say, you people, you know. But He says the Son can do nothing in Himself except what He sees the Father do. Then in verse 30 of the same chapter, He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. That's the same as us. There's nothing wrong if somebody asks you a question and say, I don't know. That's what you should do. If you don't know God's mind about something, say you don't know. Don't just put your opinion there. Say, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. Then go and seek the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. That's what it should be. In Mark 13, when they're speaking to Jesus about the end time, He says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Amen. He even says, I don't even know the hour of my return. Because He humbled Himself. He took on the form of a servant. He stripped Himself of those great attributes of God that could be outwardly displayed. Ah, friends, that's why God has so highly exalted Him. Amen. And given Him a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Because He humbled Himself. He did nothing of His own intelligence, His own understanding, and His own will. But He was tempted to do it. He was tempted like you and I. Turn the stones into bread. That was going to break the program of God. He could have forced the issue. He could have used the resources to turn the stones into bread. But He knew that's not what I'm here for. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then Satan says, bow down and worship me. I'll give you the earth. I'll give you these kingdoms and all the glory of them. What did he say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord, and Him only shalt thou worship. And friends, He's the great overcomer. He showed us the way. And if Jesus could be tempted by these things, friends, let's be watchful. Let's be vigilant, like Peter said, for your adversary, the devil, goeth around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let's never think of ourselves above that which God has made us, what God has called us to be. Let's stay in the place that God has called us to be until He reveals to us He wants us to move somewhere else. What was the great mistake King Saul made? When the prophet came to him, what did he say? When you were small in your own eyes. When you were small in your own eyes. God established you. God gave him anointing. God gave him authority. God gave him position. But something moved into the life of this man, King Saul. And he was no longer small in his own eyes. He was now had a false estimate of who he really was. And what ended up happening? The prophet came and says, your kingdom would have continued. God would have established your kingdom. But now he's taken it from you. And he's given it to a man after his own heart. Ah, friends, it's not him who starts the race. It's him that finishes the race. It's not that we start well and God blesses us in the days of our youth. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And every single time Jesus spoke of the end time, what did he say? He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Never take it for granted. The prophet says an influence. Uzziah had been so long as king that it got to the stage that he thought he could do anything. Never get to that stage, friends. Every day we need fresh orders from the king. Every day we need fresh instructions fresh battle orders as to how to face up to our current situation. Don't rest on the past. The past, it's past. Let the dead past bury the past, the prophet says. But let's serve him in reverence. Let's serve him with respect. Let's serve him with a humble heart. Let's serve him by submitting ourselves to him and saying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Because Lucifer, I will. I will. Jesus says, not I will. Thy will be done. That's the difference. And he's the great overcomer. And that's why he's inherited the throne. He's inherited the throne of glory. He finished his race. He's now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Friends, we haven't finished our race yet. Let's beware of this enemy. Let's be watchful. Let's be vigilant. Let's be prayerful. Let's help one another on this issue of pride. Let's stand. Let's pray, friends. It's a subtle enemy. It's the spirit of the serpent that wants to come inside of our mortality. It wants to come to raise us above what God has made us to be. And make us think that we're something that God doesn't want us to think that we are. That God hasn't established us to be. So friends, let's be watchful. It's all around. There's so many things you hear. So many things that you see in the message of the hour. And you say, oh Lord, have mercy. Keep us from that, O Lord. Keep us, Lord. Let's sing that if you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. Do you know it, right? Yeah. Okay, put it in.
Jesus Christ.
great Adonai, crowned in praise, Lord Most High, Jesus crowned, so we cry. Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ, we rely. Adonai, crowned in praise, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ.
In this life, there's one name that we bless. Let's bless His name. His name is Jesus. He's the Word. He's the God of glory. He's the Lord God of creation. That's all we want to glory in this life. We want to glorify Him in word. We want to glorify Him in the lives that we live. We want to glorify Him in our conduct one towards another. That we may be Christians. Christ-like. That people might look at us as they did to the early church and say, surely these men have been with Jesus. Don't you want to be like that? We need to spend time in His presence. We need to spend time in prayer. You need to spend time yielding yourself. You need to put on the message of the hour, His counsel to this age. And we need to yield ourselves to that counsel. And friends, if you've got any other attitude inside of yourself today, because we live in a body, a veil of flesh, that's going to want to raise itself up. If you feed that black horse, it's going to speak big time to you. Why not speak to Him this afternoon when you come to a time of prayer and say, Jesus, Your grace is sufficient for me. I just want the attitude inside of myself that You can keep ministering grace to me. Because You are the God of grace, seated on the throne of grace. And in my time of need, I can come unto the mercy seat, to Your throne of grace. Ah, friends, but the enemy's pride. Let's not allow that inside of ourselves. Let's sing one more song. Let's sing, I bless Your name. We pray for the sick. And let's come to a time of prayer. Let's seek His face today. Let's say, Jesus, You want an atmosphere. We want an attitude inside of here that You always feel welcome.
Amen.
To come, that the dove will always find the atmosphere of the Lamb. Let it be so.
In prisoner's chair, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas pray that night, and in their pain began to sing, their chains were loosed and they were free. I bless Your name, I bless Your name, give You honor, I give You praise. You are the light that showed the way. I bless Your name, I bless Your name. So if you find praise and in Your mind, reach out, I'll praise, stick by those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give your praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst heart, reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. Honor, I bring you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. You deserve the glory. As we lift your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory.
Let's bow our heads, saints. If anybody has a battle in their life against this demon called pride, why not declare war today? Let this be the start of the counter-offensive. That this thing that's desired you, that is desired to, it's such a seductive way. It comes at promising so much. Like it did to Adam and Eve, you shall be as God. And what did it cause? Death. Separation. It's a lie. It's a deceit. It's a false estimate of things. Why not wage warfare today and say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Father, keep me ever humble. Father, keep me ever true. Father, keep me ever walking in the place where your grace is always sufficient to me. Whatever your need, let's seek his face before we leave this place. Let's all pray. Oh, Father, just bring that up unto you, Lord, upon this day. Thank you, Father. Lord, you're good. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, upon this day. Take your word, Father, Lord, is my desire. Grant grace and grant mercy, Lord, is my petition and my prayer. To each and every one of us, Lord, as I want to look and to be at one thing. Father, Lord, upon me, Lord, I would want to look and to be all upon you. To dedicate it all upon to you, to breathe before thee at this time. To submit myself and to be praying for those young brothers. Pray your grace, pray your mercy upon them, Lord. And Heaven bands and bless him as well, Lord. And God, and help us in these things, but Christian, bless him, Lord. So dedicate these things to thee, Father. So well upon the Lord, upon this day, and give all things to thee, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For your glory I pray, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Just ask Brother Max if he'd be kind enough to come to close for us, Brother Max, in Jesus' name.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you, Lord, this afternoon, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father, we came this morning, and we have heard your word, O God. Amen. Lord, it might have come by way of correction. Amen. It may have come by way of rebuke. Amen. To the hearer. But Lord Jesus, this morning, we want to look unto you. Amen. You that, Lord, we know that you find it no robbery to equal yourself with God. Amen. You never put upon yourself any reputation. Amen. But you humbled yourself. You were obedient. Even obedient to death, the death of the cross. Amen. Lord, this morning, that's where we want to look at, O God. Amen. That this mercy that has come to us, we have seen the genesis of this demonic old spirit, Lord. Amen. That it comes from Lucifer himself. And the Lord Jesus, all he's doing is to inflict this demonic old thing, Lord, upon your church, upon individuals, upon children, upon husbands, upon wives. Lord Jesus, tonight, this afternoon, we resist the enemy. And Father, we call upon the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that as we have heard these things, Lord, we pray that we cannot fight it ourselves. But that, Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves, Lord, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit now. That, Lord Jesus, it will sweep over us, O God. Amen. Because even you, Christ, the devil tempted you. Amen. To put this pride upon you. Amen. Lord, we want to look to you. Yes. You turned to the word of God. Amen. And you were able to resist it, O God. Amen. Father, whenever the enemy comes, Lord, we pray the Lord, we would turn to nothing but the word. Amen. And resist the enemy. Amen. The Lord Jesus, we will live like you, O God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bring ourselves, Lord, under your leadership now. The Lord, let us recognize, O God, one another. Oh, to provoke one another to love. And the Lord Jesus, we will live under that canopy, Lord. Father, we pray, the Lord, even as we live here, O Lord Jesus, these things that we have heard, let us take them to our cruises. Amen. and continue, Lord, to pray over them.
Yes.
Because we know the enemy right out there is waiting.
Yes.
But Lord Jesus, we know that you have now all surrounded us, O God, with the Holy Spirit now.
Amen.
So, Father, we will break through every works of the enemy.
Amen.
Father, help each and everyone now. The Lord, we will see you to one another as a brother, as a sister. Oh, we will encourage one another as a church, O God, and that we will remain at our positions, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Father, that's all that we need, O Lord, that we will move together as one body.
Amen.
Oh, each operating in his own office, Lord.
Amen.
Not going beyond the camp where, Lord, you have ordained, O Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, once again, we want to thank you, Lord, for our pastor, O Lord Jesus. We need this kind of awareness, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, you have used him, Lord, to bring this out.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we accept it, Lord.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even Father, if it has come as a rebuke, correction,
Amen.
Lord, we humble ourselves
Amen.
And accept it in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, bless our pastor and the family, Lord. That once again, Lord Jesus, even you will just always use him mightily, O God, to, Father, bring this kind of message, Lord, to us. Because the church, we need it, Lord. Father, as many that have been prayed for, whatever sickness or whatever need they were looking for, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, meet each and every one
Amen.
According to your grace and according to your riches in glory.
Amen.
Father, we are living here with joy upon our hearts,
Amen.
Knowing that, Lord, you have spoken to us.
Amen.
Bless your church, Lord.
Yes.
Take away pride from amongst us.
Amen.
And, Lord, restore to us, oh, the love, oh, Lord Jesus,
Yes.
the fellowship, and that, Lord, we need amongst one another. Grant it to us, Lord, we ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
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 Amen. Let's sing that song as we dismiss Ancient Words.
Amen.
Just a reminder, 6 o'clock Saturday, Scarva Orange Hall for the youth.
Amen.
I'm sure Brother Will will help to make the arrangements for them. Whoever wants to come, please keep it in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And like I said, greetings from Brother Christian. It was wonderful to talk to him yesterday, so let's keep him in prayer, keep the saints down there in prayer as well.
Holy Virgin, long preserved for our walk in this world, they reside with God's own. For our walk in this earth. Ancient word ever to change it.